Apart from you five. Yeah. We are so excited to have Ben and Ellie and Johnny and Bex and Sarah back with us again for the weekend. And we gave them a nice easy start to the weekend, and we're working them hard today and tomorrow. So it's a real blessing for us to be here, and we hope you feel the same. So I'm going to hand over to you guys to explain to us all again where you've been, what you've been doing. And it's good to see that some of you have made an effort with what you're wearing this morning. Guys, come on.
Don't wear Western clothes.
Do they not? Oh, okay. There's always an excuse. Our handheld mic is challenging us this morning, so if you could just use this, please. Do you want this out of the way, or do you want this here or out of the way? Anyway, I don't know what you're going to say next, so I'm going to just sit down and get out of the way.
We are the action team, and we have... Way! That's the right response. We have been in India for 6 months, and we just got back to very sunny England. And so we are going to tell you a bit about the projects we were involved in and the kind of things that we were facing out there.
We went to India. We were just based in Calcutta. We went for a week's holiday to Darjeeling and a week to Puri, which is the beach. But apart from that, we were just based in Calcutta.
It's me. Okay, so before we went to India, we had a month's training, which is when we were last here as part of our training. So we had 3 weeks in Birmingham doing some theology and some culture training, all this kind of thing. 1 week in Wales, which was dead fun, doing lots of team building things and like sleeping outside and all that kind of crazy stuff. And then obviously we were here for a couple of weekends.
So we were here in Bromsgrove for 2 weekends on our training too, which was really actually very helpful, I have to say that, but it was. especially for the stuff we were doing actually in the church in India, so...
So yeah, when we arrived in India, it was definitely a big culture shock. Nothing quite like we'd experienced before. As Johnny would say, it's an assault on the senses. it smells all the time, everywhere, and not good smells most of the time. It's just so bright and colourful. It's so noisy. There's so many cars around just beeping the horns all the time. And yeah, this one in the middle is a tuk-tuk, which is like little, I don't know, it's just day-to-day transport. It costs about like 5 pence to get a trip down the road. And yeah, we managed to fit 10 people in one. You're meant to have 4, but we got 10. We were quite proud. and yeah, and the food as well actually was very different. What is that thing called? Not really sure. But yeah, there was some interesting food. Puchka.
The little balls on the top were called puchka. I don't know what the
puchka. And so we had lots of puchka and curry. So yeah.
One of the things that was very different was the Indian clothes. So we're wearing some at the moment. Sarah's got one of the ones we bought at the shop. So right at the beginning we went and bought some, and in the shop we were just like overwhelmed. There were so many patterns and colours, like way more than you get here. We were just like, where do you even start? The boys got a bit fed up with us. We
ended absolute nightmare.
Ended up sending probably, what was it, like country. 2 hours in there trying to do
three.
Something.
Three
hours.
The worst one.
Yeah, so maybe up to 3 hours in there. Not sure how much is exaggeration. But afterwards, when we got a bit more familiar, we went and bought some material and got some tailored. So me and Bex are wearing some of our tailored, these are called salwars. And this was generally what we wore to our projects and stuff. Saris tended to be for special occasions, and the guys would just be wearing Western clothes because that was normal out there as well. But oh yeah, so our main project was the school. We were working there, 3 days a week. So the bus would pick us up in the morning, and with all the kids, they were around 80 kids plus us fitting on a bus fit for 20, which was quite a squeeze. And then so we'd go off to this church, which had a little building for the school, where we'd do worship and teaching in the morning. We'd sing some songs and get them jumping around with the actions, do a Bible story. Some of the time, because we were doing English, we were doing English songs, and the kids didn't know English. We were teaching them English. So sometimes with the songs, they didn't quite get the words. So we tried teaching them Our God is a Great Big God. And there was one kid who really enjoyed the song and was shouting out, My God is a big, big ball. It wasn't quite the idea.
The whole 6 months.
Yeah.
And hold him in our
hands. Yeah. It was quite amusing. So just the rest of the day was just teaching, and then we'd give them lunch, which was possibly one of the main meals that they would have through the whole day. Maybe the only meal they would have that day. So that's quite important. And we'd just play with the kids until the bus picked them up again.
So another project we worked at was Grandma's. It wasn't one that we were signed up for originally, but we met a woman at church who runs it, and we managed to get involved. And it's a project that works in the Red Light District. It helps the women working there and their families to deal with HIV. So they have a clinic that they can come to, and then Emma, who runs it, will take them to hospital and make sure they get all the treatment that they need. And she's the most amazing woman I think we've ever met. She's so great with the women, and she works with the kids as well. So there's a club that the kids can come to when their mothers are working, and she told us the story. It wasn't very nice. If the women can't find someone to look after their kids whilst they're working, often the kids are just under the bed, and it's just horrible for the children. So we helped by painting a mural in one of the classrooms and redecorating the whole of the downstairs of her building. So Sarah drew Noah's Ark, which looked very good. The rest of us just painted it in. it's just an amazing project. And whilst we were there, they started a church service as well. So they've got their own church congregation. And we went to one service on the rooftop of the building, and it was just one of the most beautiful services we've been to. All the women and the children were just on this rooftop in the middle of Sonogatari, which is the Red Light District. I think it's something like 11,000 sex workers there, and they were just singing out and praising God. And it was just amazing just to see this little light in the middle of this horrible place. It was all in Bengali, so we didn't know what they were saying. It was really amazing to see that. So that's Grandma's.
So before we worked at Grandma's, there's not actually a slide for this because we weren't allowed to take any photos there. But we worked on another project in the Red Light District called FreeSet, which takes women out of the sex trade. It's a business as mission project. So it takes women out of the trade and gives them a job making bags and T-shirts, and actually pays them a pretty decent wage as well. So they have about 200 women at the moment. You can also buy all the products online. So it's a shameless plug, but there is. So we were doing pretty much the same kind of thing. We were redecorating, doing some painting, sanding down walls, just handy jobs. But Steve, who is the coordinator there, had like 5 teams coming in a lot of the time. So because it was so much for him to handle, is one of the reasons we started working at Grandma's more full time, and we dropped out of FreeSet. But that was another project that really was great for us.
Another project that we got involved with was working at the Little Sisters of the Poor home, which was as you can see, it was quite a nice place, and it's a place where where we worked with the old folks. So we went there for just 1 hour a week on a Wednesday evening, and we helped serve them dinner, did washing up, and just had a really good chat to them. And they just have incredible testimonies about their life. They all speak English. Well, most of them speak English, which is really good. So we're really able to connect with them and have such a good relationship with them. And they just loved us coming. And I guess one of the things that we really learned going here, as you can imagine, just at first we're like, oh, we're serving them dinner, washing up. Is that really that much of a mission? But yeah, one thing we really learned was that just these small little things, just going there an hour a week and just their smiles and their the way they were just thanking us every time we came and just everything like that, like how much they really appreciated it. And yeah, so we really, really enjoyed going there. And although it was, we necessarily didn't go there for very long, it was one of my favourite times of the week just to go over there. So yeah, that was really incredible.
Bex and I worked every Tuesday at a project set up by Mother Teresa called Shanti Dan, and it was one that worked with girls with mentally and physically, with mental and physical disabilities, and it was one of the most beautiful projects I think that we worked on. Just the way that the sisters loved all the girls there, and it was very hands-on sometimes. So we would go in the morning and we would help with all the girls washing. And then we would go to lessons, and then afterwards we'd help them eat and get into bed. But getting them into bed was quite tricky sometimes because we weren't quite sure of where all the sheets were, and having to change like 60 girls and get them into bed, it was quite like physically demanding, and so a lot of the girls are older than us, so it was quite different. But it was something that I think really opened our eyes, because it was really humbling, and it was the kind of work that was seemingly mundane, but a lot of it was really like just to keep the place running. And one of the best bits for me about Calcutta was getting to know Mother Teresa more, getting to know her organisation, because her tomb was like 5 minutes down the road from where we stayed. So it was really good to be able to visit all her projects. And we went to the leprosy centre, which was amazing. And just really get an idea of this monumental figure who was just like a person who just did so many little things, but it was just, she made such a difference. So that was really great.
So yeah, some of the other experiences we did outside of project work, we, as you can see up in the top left-hand corner, we got a bit messy that day. This is one of the festivals they have, one of the Puja festivals. So they have a lot of these Puja festivals. They say there's 13 Puja festivals in 12 months or something like that. So yeah, there's quite a lot of those. But this one is this one was a happy festival, and where basically you just go out, get lots and lots of paint and just go mad. Unfortunately, we didn't realise this all happens at 8 o'clock in the morning. As you can imagine, we were in bed because we didn't have to go to school, so we were having a bit of a lie-in, and then we got up and then we went. But luckily, there are quite a lot of people still going on throughout the day. So we did go out and we did find some people and we found some paint. And we did get sufficiently covered in paint, like you can see up in that corner. And yeah, so we walked down a little road, found some people playing, and we just, yeah, got very, very, very... And this paint is really, really difficult to get out. So, yeah, especially if you've got blonde hair, it can last months in your hair. It's ridiculous. I think I've still got some on my feet somewhere, so yeah. I'm not going to get them out, but hey, yeah, you can get the idea in the picture. So yeah, that was really fun, and we really, really enjoyed that day. But next time we're going to go out early when the real fun is.
Yeah, so another one of our experiences was Chinese New Year, which is the bottom right hand corner, us trying on the Chinese dragons there. Or lions, even. Sorry. yeah, so we had a friend who lived in Calcutta's Chinese town. So we went round to his house and spent Chinese New Year with him and his family and all his friends from New York. And it was just great to really experience that and had some great fun watching all the lion dances and all the all the fun that they have during this festival, and seeing it combined with Indian concept of health and safety, which is nothing. There were like packed streets and people like sitting on the rooftops to watch it, watch all these lion dances and fireworks going off down the road, literally on the road in front of you, like meters away. So that was really good fun.
We got to experience a lot of the Indian culture and working with the kids and things. We saw like the poorest of the poor, but we somehow, me and Sarah, got the opportunity to go to a 5-star hotel for lunch. We met this woman and we got talking, and she invited us to have lunch where she was staying. So we were like, oh, all right. We got in a taxi and we turned up, and she was staying at the Oberoi in Calcutta, which is just this big fancy hotel. And we got lunch there, which was such a treat. And yeah, we just got to see how like the rich, just so close, like outside the hotel, there's just people living on the street, and it's just so bizarre seeing the contrast between the rich and the poor. But so that was just really interesting to see. And yeah, so we had lots of experiences.
On my birthday, I went to school, and the kids had actually got, the school had got me a cake, and it said, "Happy birthday, Auntie," so, which I loved. So I feel like, Auntie, A-N-T-I. So that was brilliant. And it was just the best to be able to spend the day with the kids. There's no one else really would want to be with, so it's good.
Okay, so if anyone has any questions they would specifically like to ask us, shoot, basically. I don't know if Paul's got some questions for us. If not, then it's all good.
I have a question. I just want to say thank you for all the lunches then back there. Good fundraising.
Hey, you're welcome. I was blog writer. We'd just go through them in the evenings.
So. Yeah, that was all early, that was. Thanks for reading that. Thanks. Yeah.
Sorry that they were so long. Yeah.
And maybe sometimes pretty graphic with, you know, illnesses and stuff. But. A good one. I think for me, just really appreciate what you've got, and more than actually the physical stuff we have, just the opportunity. Working at school was really frustrating sometimes, because you know some of the kids were really bright kids, but even being able to go to the school we went to, it wasn't particularly fantastic at actually teaching them in depth, because they keep getting new kids coming in. They sort of teach them a little bit and then try to do something else with them. But a lot of the kids leave because they have to find work or things like this. So no matter how bright they are, there's nothing you can really do. They've just not got the opportunity. So I would just say make the most of opportunities that you do get, because there are lots of people that actually, as hard as they try, they can't really get the same kind of opportunities that we get here. No one else? That's just one thing.
What was the worst thing that happened to you?
Johnny specifically. Are you looking for a toilet story here?
I can tell my story.
Not too much on the detail, yeah.
I think Ben's Puri story is pretty good.
Yeah, Puri.
Okay, so on holiday we got a 2-week break in the middle of it around Christmas, just after Christmas, just to refresh and get away from the madness of Kolkata, which didn't really happen in our first week when we went down to the beach area, because the beach we went to wasn't like a touristy beach. It was, but it was the Indian tourists. So we were like the only white people in sight, and we became the tourist attraction. But saying that, like on the way down on the train, so we travelled by train, which was interesting. Don't go on a train for 8 hours when you have to sit up. It's not fun. Your bums do get very sore. And so I wasn't feeling too good down on the train. I had no idea what it was. I wasn't like feeling sick or anything. But yeah, and then we got back to the, we got to the hotel in Puri. And so we went upstairs and they just said, you've got 4 rooms and we had to split. We actually had the team from Delhi come over and join us for our holiday, which was really nice to see them. So they just said, you got to split. So the Delhi girls split too. And then our 3 girls went together and me and Johnny went together. And obviously I just wanted to lie down. So I was just like, I need to get in a room. You guys go in there, you guys go in there, and the other go in there. And me and Johnny just took the last room at the end. And then I found out that I had a fever and very, very bad diarrhea started during the night. And unfortunately, we only had an Indian toilet, which is, not fun when you have to get up and down. You're just squatting, as you can see. Johnny's doing a beautiful... So I spent most of the night doing that, strong quads now. the next day it didn't stop, and I went into, we were sitting in the girls' room doing a team time, and I had to pop to the toilet. Walk in there, Western toilets. So I was a bit like, okay, maybe they've just got the one. Went down to the other girls' rooms, Western toilets. How bad? Oh, man, that night would have been a lot more comfortable if I could have had a Western toilet. I'm taking the first room next time. The girls can wait. Yeah.
Pretty much a similar thing for me. Got to the airport in Mumbai. All the toilets were full apart from the one on the end. I assumed the toilets were all the same because, you would, wouldn't you? Went in, Indian toilet, right, let's go. Like, maybe 35 minutes later, managed to get sorted. One of the other toilet doors swung open and all the rest of the toilets were Western. And it turns out I picked the one in the airport that was actually, the tricky one to manoeuvre. There's plenty of pretty horrible stories, to be honest, but...
Let's bring our thoughts off of those kind of things.
Let's go. Yeah.
When we were here on Friday, and while we were waiting for Joe to bring the cake and things, we were chatting, and I asked you that same question, and then the next question I asked you was, but what about the best experiences? And I have to say, I expected them to be really quick with their answers. Oh, the best thing was this, but actually, you all kind of paused for a bit, didn't you? And and Sarah's comment was just so many things, right? And so the worst experience, I have to say, looking at it from this side of the trip, for me, I think I would have been really quick with all the bad stuff and gone, what was good about it then? Because some of the things that we read in your blogs and your ongoing illnesses and all of those kinds of things didn't really seem all that great. Why do you want to do that for 6 months? It really struck me when we were having that conversation that actually so many experiences. And I think it'd be helpful if we could hear some of those, particularly on the experiences you had with God for yourselves and the things that you learn about your journey with God from other people around you. Now, I think you're going to come on to some kind of your testimony a bit in a minute anyway, aren't you? But where did you see God on your trip? What kind of ways did that happen?
Okay, one of the things I really learned about God is that he is literally in absolutely every situation that is occurring on this earth. Although you think, how can he be here, there, all over the world, in every single home and in every single place on the street, and just working working in grandma's, having to walk through the main street to get to where we were working. So all the women lining up and everything. It's just, yeah, it's so heartbreaking to see. And I think that after just seeing the work that Emma's doing and seeing the how it's just expanding, and now they've got like a church going there. They've teamed up with the local church and they've got a proper pastor in now, and just seeing all the kids coming. There's like 40, 50 kids just turning up on our doorstep every week, and just seeing how much that's grown. Just seeing that how God's light is in even the most darkest places on earth, and just seeing that there, and how that is working, just showing that God is in every situation, and his light is spreading, even in the places you would not expect. So that was really incredible to see.
One of the things that I found was just how awesome God's plan is, like the amount of detail that he's put into it. You think, oh, it's a general plan, we're going there, we're going there. But he's got everything sorted. Like, when you've set out a plan for the day and nothing goes right, you're just like, well, it was a bit of a waste, wasn't it? But if God's in that, then the day went perfectly. Like, I mean, and some things you didn't expect. Like, you were like, oh, that was a fun once-off. Like, how's that ever going to be useful other than a fun memory? Like, me and Sarah got the opportunity to go and see a school that some of our friends from the guest house are working in, and it was just to see another project, help them paint a mural that they were doing in the school. But from that, we then were like, oh, well, painting murals isn't that hard. And we went to grandma's and we were like, oh, yeah, we can paint a mural for you. And we wouldn't have been able to do that if we hadn't gone and seen this other project and helped them and seen, like, kind of what they were doing with that mural, and have them to ask some like tiny detail type questions when we were a bit stuck, like what kind of paint to buy, that kind of thing. And just, it was just how everything just worked together and fitted so well. It was just amazing to see.
I know I already said it before when I was talking about grandma's, but having that church service on the roof was just like the most overwhelming experience, and it was just amazing to see. And I said before, it makes me just realise how much hope there is in Calcutta. We were so lucky to see so many different projects, and just how amazing each one of those projects is just makes you realise how much of a difference God can make. And he just picks the right people to just run those projects, and with each of those little ones just together, there's just so much that they can do. And if ever you think that like poverty and darkness is just like too big a task to try and like get rid of, it's just not, because there's just so much good work going on, and there's so much hope that can be seen around, and it's not just Calcutta, it's just everywhere. God reaches like the darkest places.
Now Johnny and Sarah are going to share with you guys a little bit of their testimony, something that's happened out there or something like that. So I think they'll include a little bit about their best experiences in that. So yeah, we're going to hand over to them.
Okay. So, I'm just going to share with you guys now something that God has taught me. When I can find the passage, I'll help. Over the last months in India, and through some experiences that we've had, and also through talking to the local pastor, who's just such a wise guy, the sort of person you wish had a notebook with you all the time. But I'd like to begin with a story that he told us, and I hope I tell it okay, but it's a story about a boy, and he's waiting for a girl, and you can tell by looking at him, he's really nervous, and he keeps checking his watch, and she's probably late, and he's just sitting waiting. Eventually, she turns up, And all that frustration and the nerves, they're all gone. And he just wants to spend time with her. So he gives her flowers. He buys her lunch. He takes her to the cinema. And he just loves treating her. And you can tell that this is just something he really enjoys doing. And he takes pride in that. And to me, this sort of analogy is a really good way of describing God's character. The Bible says that we're the bride of Christ. And as a church and individually, I think God just enjoys treating us this way, and he wants to bless us without us asking even. So whether we ask or not, he enjoys doing good things for us. The Bible says we should ask for things in prayer, and that's really important. But to me, part of being in a relationship with God is sometimes trusting him to do what's best for us without always having to ask him. One example from India of this is, like the girls were saying, grandmas, we didn't ask to find a new project or to become part of this or anything, but just the way God had planned it. The girls met Emma at church and things got rolling, and we just ended up being so blessed by that project and everything we got to do there in the end. God knows the desires of our hearts as well, and I really believe that he wants to give us these things, not because we're always asking him for them, but because it's just who he is. So I'm going to read you now Psalm 23. I'm sure you all know it, but to me, it just speaks about how the Lord, he just wants to bless us, and he cares for us, and just leads us. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I love this passage because it shows me some of God's heart for just giving us the best life and blessing us just in everything. It goes a step further to me as well, because Christ died for us when we were still sinners. Paul writes that, and it's not because we deserved it or because we asked for it, but because it's what he chose. You know, and mercy is a gift, and grace is a gift, and redemption. And the cross was a gift. And it's not because we ask, but it's because of who he is. Because in the end, it doesn't depend on us. It depends on him. And I wonder if this week we can think about how we can let God bless us in everyday things, and how we can let him lead us into what is best for us. Thanks. Sarah's going to come up now and share something.
So today I want to tell you about a God who is extraordinary because he lives with us so much in the ordinary. I don't think I really knew this Jesus before I left, although I've been a Christian for a long time. For me, Jesus used to be something far ahead in the distance, an ideal that we would strive towards but would always be quite far away. And perhaps if we said the Bible enough times together, we would start to believe the niceties of Sunday school and actually say cardboard cutout answers of WWJD with conviction. Sure, God was with us, but in the mundane of everyday things, we were on our own. I thought going to India for 6 months would probably be doing God a favour. I would be tackling the big work submission for him. I found something quite different. I was swallowed into a city far beyond my capacity and my imagination. The people, the smells, the dirt. I began to realise that the kids at school gave me much more just by being who they were than I could ever give back. And all I could do at most was just smile and give a good conversation. And yet, in such things of insignificance, God began to move. He was so big. God is so big that he can make himself really small in the things of every day. I realized that God's works were far beyond me and my ability. Actually, at the end of the day, there's nothing I can give God. There's nothing I can give God. And he doesn't need me at all, but God still wants to use me, which is amazing. Suddenly, it wasn't about my efficiency. It was about trusting in God. And it wasn't even just about me being faithful. It was about God being faithful. I used to think that being part of being Christian, part of it was being able to categorize and reason God, to gather all of his theological complexities and hold them in unity in my mind. And yes, theology is important, but at the end of the day, God isn't reliant on my ability to reason logically and understand him. Suddenly, the more I admitted I didn't understand God, the more I understood, because I was freed to recognize a God whose ways were astounding and so beyond my own and so beyond my abilities. As Gandhi said, who is not a Christian, but he is a very wise man, he said, the seeker of truth must be humbler than the dust. And God spoke to me over and over again about being humble with yourself when it comes to God. As it says in Corinthians, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And when I am weak, then I am strong. And it is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own, but our qualification comes from God. I'd like to read you something I wrote in India sometime at the beginning of the 6 months. And I found it in my prayer journal yesterday, and I was like, I think this might be good to share. It was somewhere amidst all the ponderings and all the revelation. So, today I felt like God was saying to me, Sarah, your perception of me has been like a shadow, predictable and in many ways inanimate. But I am the force of action, and I stand in the midst of the chaos, the confusion, the dirt and disregard. I'm not just a shadow that hovers over your life. Jesus is an incarnational being, and I didn't even realize. I almost feel like I have to commit all over again to this new Lord. To truly understand and seek him is to leave myself behind. I guess these are really basic principles, but the sharpness of their reality has never struck me. In a way, this is the best news I've ever had. God is much bigger than my understanding, even my logical reasoning. He works in a holy mess that functions in simplicity, love, and sacrifice. In another sense, there is much more at stake here at the foot of this call for Christianity. I will never understand the ins and outs of God's plan, and with Jesus, my future isn't even mine, but it was never mine to begin with. I felt God say to me today, Sarah, you are scared of not being comfortable, but what is there hidden in lukewarm waters? I am the unknown. I am the mystery. I am God. So basically, I've realized that there is a really big difference between believing in God and just saying the sinner's prayer and actually following this Jesus and getting your heart changed. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that sanctification is a process, and I don't have to control the Spirit changing me more and more into God's glorious image. And I really want to encourage you today to wait for God and to realize that
God isn't amazing because he dwells outside the normal in some sort of supernatural distant chasm. But actually, God is really supernatural in the normal, and that's what makes God really amazing. And we have a time of reflection now. So this is a song that really helped me after India and just really gave me peace about a lot of things.
Sing together a final song in a moment, but before we get to that, I want to just thank you guys for being here again. And you know, I didn't know what you were going to say. You joked about you didn't know what you were going to say either, but I'm sure you did, really. But I want to say that
they were still writing it last night.
I was still writing it this morning at 9 o'clock, let me tell you. You know, this is just the start of your tour, isn't it? This is the first weekend that these guys have had an opportunity to stand in front of people who they don't really know very well and talk about their trip. And this is that's no small task. And part of the reason for having a placement church like this is so that they can come along and learn how best to talk to church congregations and share their stories and share their testimonies. You don't need any help from us. You have given us so much from the two weekends that you were here before, and this weekend, the words you've shared with us today are so full of God. It's been a real blessing for us. And from here, you've got a week back at IMC, in Surly Oak, the BMS Training Centre, and then 4 weeks of church tour, 2 weeks back at IMC. 4 days, time for Johnny to have a bit of a sleep. John is good at sleeping. And then another 4 weeks of tour, and then that's it. Yeah, so pray for them over this next 10, 12 weeks or so, and that God will carry on using them as we've seen God using them here with us. Pray that God will carry on blessing them, and all the places that they go to will be receptive to hearing God speak through them. And pray too that they will carry on growing in their faith and their journey with Jesus. And then university for some, maybe, you know, Bex one day might decide, you know, what's next. But you know, what's next is God goes on with you and God's plan is set in your lives. And I want to, you know, for you to hear that said from us, that God's plan, God's hold is on each of you and that will never change. Okay. Carry on chatting to them. I know time's gone on a little bit this morning. I'm going to make no apology for that because, you know, look, this has been our opportunity to hear from God through these young lives. And I do stay, please, afterwards and carry on chatting to them and thank them for their time. I was thinking as we were listening to that video clip, well, look, let's just drop the last song, but I'm not going to because the words in one part of it say this. So this is us. Again, responding to Jesus, isn't it? And the words say, so take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, fill my life again. And you know, this is what Sarah was talking about, isn't it, in sharing her testimony, about God filling her again in a new way. We need to sing this together. Take all my fears and failures, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in, now I surrender. I surrender to you, Jesus. I give myself to you to let your light shine through me. This is what we're going to share together. So let's stand together as we sing, please.